Thank you so much, my brother, and I pray the Word of God today have a very strong effect in our life. It's one of the most difficult passage to preach for the seriousness and the implications the passage bring. Now, just to bring you into the scripture on that beautiful verse 14, so clear and so spelled being so well, I just want you to know that if you need a booklet for living, here you have 10 commandments that will give you a relationship with God and a relationship with us. I was working in a formula. It's 4 plus 6. So I was doing parentheses, and I was in another parentheses and put this. My wife said, "What are you doing?" So I just went to explain the sort of put it on the screen mathematically. He said, "Well, get it. Don't use mathematics when you preach." All right. Now, here's what it is. There are 4 commandments. If you want to be right with God, there are 4 commandments that tells you everything between you and God. The first one is, God is saying this, "Am I your number one?" Raquel told me when I'm trying to date her, say, "Am I the only girl?" Well, let me think. All right. So you don't take me out until am I your only girl, yes or not? All right? And God is saying the same thing. Am I your God? That's the first command. You should not have other gods before me. The second one in the relationship with God is no pictures allowed. Don't substitute the presence, the holy presence of God spiritually. Don't try to put it in paper. Doesn't work. All right? And the next one is be careful, remember, with God's name. Don't fool around. The name of God, don't take it very lightly. Take it very seriously. All right? And amazing enough, within these 4 commandments that relate us to God, the number 4 is watch for his day, the Lord's day. "This is my day," say the Lord. And it's amazing. This is the day that reflects our obedience and our respect to God. But you've been here this morning. You are fulfilling that 4 commandment, which you are respecting God. He doesn't there is not too many, all right? 4 commandments to relate to God, okay? This is what God wants between you and him. This is the 4 things. And the number 4, I was surprised that people take it so lightly, the day of the Lord, because it's in the commandment. Then we have a society, and races were formed, and different people, different customs, and how do we relate to each other? So commandment number 6 all the way to number 10 tells you the relationship. Doesn't matter if you are from the east, from the west, from the north, or from the south. This is what God wants us to do. And remember, the first one, remember, that's very important. Be careful with your parents. Be careful with your parents. Honor your father and mother. And that was the commandment we promised, all right? So the days we were visiting Raquel's sister. You know, she's going to be 90 in December, and her husband is already 89. And they asked me, they said, "Well, will you come and bring the tools?" We had to prune some trees in the back and so on. And I was, you know, we know them. In Raquel's wedding, sister's wedding, I get to know Raquel, all right? That was the first time I saw Raquel. Our church has 21 boys, 1 girl, and she don't let anybody catch her. So the parents were very jealous. And then this church has about 30 girls and 3 boys. Oh, that was good. I want to change churches. And I did. So I told my uncles I had to change churches because I had to get married, all right? It's amazing that be careful with your parents. Be careful with your parents. Obey your parents. We parents are not always right, but we fear the Lord and we want the best for our. And the first commandment in social relationship, if the society wants to improve, the homes need to be strong, and there should be a respect. Very simple. Now, the next one is be careful with life. You cannot kill. You just get mad and kill somebody. That life belongs to God. I said. Now we come to number 7. It's just in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 14. A very serious commandment. God said, "You shall not commit adultery." Let me read it again. Very simple. You shall not commit adultery. Adultery is a very destructive sin. Allow me to show you how adultery destroys us, all right? And I'm going to do this. I'm going to say adultery is a sin against, and I'm going to mention against what? And we're going to look in the scripture how adultery destroys society. Adultery is a sin against your spouse, all right? Look at in Genesis 2 and in verse 24, a marriage there is described by God. You see Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. Marriage is described by God. Therefore, says the scripture, a man shall leave his father and mother and join to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. When one of the partners join with a person outside the marriage contract, they have broken the bond and have that they were joined together. The Bible said a man should join with a wife. You know the Bible. There is no question what's a man and what's a wife. All right? I don't have to speculate on that. So a man marries a wife. When we commit adultery outside that relationship, then marriage get to be destroyed in pieces, all right? If you go to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 16, you have a great instruction from the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16, he said, "Oh, do you not know," said the scripture, "that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her?" It's not just an affair. You are joining your body with somebody else's body. In violation of Genesis 2:24, let a man leave his father and mother and join to his wife, become one to his wife. And 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 16 said, the one who joined to the harlot is one body with her. For the two, he said, shall become one flesh. What I mentioned in Genesis 2:24. And so that is the adultery is a sin against your spouse because destroy the creation of marriage as God specified in the Bible. All right? Marriage must be adultery proof. Now, how this is done? How can we, and you can go to the bookstore and find thousands of books and how to have a great marriage and so on. How can marriage be adultery proof? How is this done? And you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, if you're married and you want to get excited about you and your wife, you read 1 Corinthians 7 once a week in your life, all right? And that will help you. All right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 to 5, we find a remarkable counsel in how to protect our marriage. Let me read it for you. All right? Paul said, "Now, concerning the things which you wrote to me," seems to me that that sentence tells me that the church of Corinth somewhere, somehow, got hold of Paul by letter. and say, now we have problems here. And among all the problems that they have, marriage was one of them. So it's no new, all right? 2,000 years old, all right? Okay, so the scripture said, now concerning the things which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. That's verse 1. Don't fool around, all right? Now, verse 2, nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Very simple, no? You don't need the dictionary to understand this. And some people outside the church, they maybe need the dictionary to understand man and woman, but this is what it is, all right? Verse 3, let the husband, now here comes the protection against adultery. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due to her, and likewise also the wife to the husband. Now, you want me to put it in raw language? The Bible said, let both have sex. That's what the Bible said. You have to enjoy sex with one another. As a matter of fact, the New Living Translation have a raw like that. And I was shocked. They go, you know, because it really, really pumps up. All right, look at verse 4. The wife has no authority over her body, her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Verse 5. Here's the counsel. Here's the key counsel for husband and wife. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time. Husbands and wife, do not use your sex relationship as a punishment to one another. Wait, Paul, are you sure? Is this the Bible? Yeah, this is the Bible. Very, very often, don't we? Don't play around with this holiness of marriage. Marriage is a holy affair. Don't use it for anything else than to enjoy yourself, all right? And look at what the Bible said, that you may give yourself, do not deprive one another, I'm reading verse 5, except by consent, said the Bible, for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer and to come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. And we are no warranty when we're born that we have self-control. I think women have more self-control than men, in my experience in counseling. But this is important. And so adultery is a sin against your spouse. It's a tremendous sin. It's a violation of God's creation. And then God provides a simple formula for marriage people just not to fall into adultery. Enjoy yourself bodily. Of course, women are made in a different way than men. And there is another scripture that specifies how a woman's mechanism works for sex and how a man's mechanism works for sex. And this is not a sex section, so I don't know explain that, but I tell you, the Bible is so clear. You don't need any psychologist or any psychiatrist to explain you how to relate to your wife. The word self-control is the key, don't we? Self-control is the key. You have to have self-control, and it's very hard. It's very hard. And so adultery, this command, he said, be careful with adultery, is a sin against your spouse, whether it's a man or a woman, is a sin against one another. And I'm sure no one wants to sin against each other. I'm sure. You don't marry to fool your wife or to fool your husband. You don't do that. But happen. And to prevent that, the Bible says, hey, have a great fun in your life. All right? In the book of Proverbs, there's other scriptures, enjoy. And this is how children, I cannot tell you the word in Hebrew. Enjoy the wife of your youth, you know. And I remember when I was visiting with Raquel, I read that verse many times. Or enjoy the wife of your youth. And it's just a beautiful. So We know that adultery is heavy, and it's heavy on a marriage relationship. Yes, can be rebuilt. Yes, can be put on together, but as heavy as can be, and dangerous to the mind and the heart of the one who has been affected, and the person who did it also. All right? So that's number one. Adultery is a sin against your spouse. Then adultery is a sin against yourself. All right? There will be a terrible price to pay for crossing that line. Let's look in the book of Proverbs. If you go to Proverbs chapter 6, and it started in verse 26 to 29 and so on, it's a very tremendous price to pay for crossing that line on yourself, all right, if you are the one who did it. Proverbs in chapter 6, verse 26. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread. What? Do you saw that? For by a means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Verse 27. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his cloth be burnt, not burnt? In other words, you're going to pay the consequences. 28. Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? Now, is that clear? 29. So is he who goes in his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. In other words, there is no escape on adultery. Amazing. Now, let's go a little bit down to 32. Same chapter, verse 32. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. I like that. That is a psychological statement. If you do that, you have not understanding of life. Lack understanding, say. It's very clear. He who does so destroy his own soul. And you know what? You know when God made you? He made a mommy, and then he put the soul, your personhood, and then he put the spirit to make you alive. If we commit adultery, we destroy ourselves. Tremendous passage, all right? Verse 33. Wounds and dishonor he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. And David, and I want to show you, he never, that sin, he never was wiped away by the people. So if you look on it, adultery is a sin against yourself. It is a terrible price to pay. Now, committing adultery will destroy witnessing and testimony, and Nathan's words to David still ring true today. You need to go to 2 Samuel chapter 12 when the prophet of God saw David, when Nathan faced David in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 14. And it was a very precious moment, and it was a hard moment on David. And in 2 Samuel 12, 14, the scripture said, however, because by this deed you have given great occasion, the pastor Nathan is talking to King David, however, because of this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die. And you remember, if you remember reading the chapter, that David left his office as a king and went into a tent, face down on the dirt. He don't want any food or anything, and was terrible. He was praying and praying for mercy, that the baby will be alive. And if you remember chapter 15, 16 by 17, God takes the baby to his presence, then David, and that's in the scripture, who said the baby is man's mind, said God, and took it to his presence. And David recovered with a comfort that the baby was in the hands of God. Now, who want to hurt yourself, you know? Do you want to hurt yourself? If you were a sport person and playing professionally, the last thing you want to do is to hurt yourself by a stupid play. Your shoes are not too tight, and you are loose, and then you step out and get your muscles out. Before you go into the, I'm talking about the only sport that I know, the soccer. And before you go into the field, you are checked up for an hour. Your muscle, this and the other, because you cannot, the club cannot fork that you get hurt because they are paying you too much. It's not because they love you, it's just old money. And your legs are insured, and your arms are insured, and they want to know, and they want to see that your shirt does not hold you, and so on. Nobody wants you hurt. Now listen, why we commit adultery and really hurt ourselves? That's what God said. So adultery is a sin against our spouse. Adultery is a sin against ourselves. Now also, adultery is a sin against society. God's desire is that this type of behavior never find manifestation among his people. Look at in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's move our Bible to a New Testament. In Ephesians chapter 5, way up in the New Testament, in 5 and in verse 3, the adultery is a sin against our society. It was a sin against our spouse. It was a sin against ourselves, all right? And it's a sin against our society. In Ephesians 5:3 said, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting of saints. No, even, I don't want to hear it, said the Apostle Paul. I don't want any suggestion about it. Please, no, think about it. All right? Now, immorality in the life of a member of a church can tarnish the entire work of God. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and in verse 26, you're in Ephesians, go a little bit backwards in your Bible, to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26. This adultery business really hurt the whole body of believers when happened in the church. 1 Corinthians 12, 26. And if any one member suffer, one member of the church suffer, all the members suffer with it. You see it? If one member of the church have commit that, we all feel sick about it. That's what the Bible said. All right? 1 Corinthians 12, 26. If any one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So what the Bible is saying here is very important. It's saying if one of us commit this, then the whole body is affected. It's not a sin that I affects me as a pastor, will affect the entire congregation. And the name will spread all over. And the reputation will be damaged. So you're scared to death to damage God, don't we? You can damage yourself, well, after all, I blew it. But now when you blew it like this, you affected the body of believers of that congregation. Now, it is amazed me. Thou shalt not commit adultery. So simple, no? So few words. All right? Is it sin against your spouse? Is it sin against yourself? You destroy yourself. Is it sin against society? And the worst part is it sin against our Savior. Of all the reasons for not committing adultery, this is the greatest one. You remember Joseph. Let's go to Genesis chapter 39. You remember I have preached in the evening service a series on Joseph, the man who's shining for God. And Look at how Genesis 39 explain these. Remember the life of Joseph. He was the pretty boy and the father's boy. There was no mama boy. He was a father's boy. Remember, he has this robe with collars and so on, and all the brothers hate him and want to kill him, put him in a pit, was sold to Ishmael. God was with him, though, and he ended up, remember, in a palace of Potiphar, and Potiphar has a wife that no control her sex life, and so this blonde Jewish boy with blue eyes, so nice, and he was so faithful that the whole household of Potiphar prospered, and she wanted to have an affair with him, all right? And look at chapter 39 and verse 9. When she approached him, look at what happened. He's speaking now. He said, "There is no one greater in this house than I." In other words, I don't know if she was nude or she was half nude. I don't know what it was, but she was tempting, all right? And she must be a good-looking girl. And here's the poor guy serving. He's in command of the entire operation in his house. And the boss is someplace somewhere. And he's there doing something. His wife come in front of him. So look at how he think. The Lord had really brought great thoughts in his mind. Verse 39 said, "There is no one greater in this house than I." You know, he recognized, wait a minute, I cannot do this. I'm the chief of the chief of the chief here. All right? No one like this. "Nor has he kept back anything from me by you." Said, "Your husband, you know your husband? He gave me authority to write the checks and pay the people, the workers. Write the check and pay for the food. And write a check, you want to buy a dress, whatever, I wrote the check for you." He said, I'm in charge of all of this. "But there is one thing your husband said, now you can do anything you want in my house. You can even use money for yourself if you want to, but don't touch my wife." Now, somewhere, somehow, God's law, one man and one woman, even unbelievers, still in their head. You see, the Bible said that God in Romans put in our consciousness what is right and what is wrong. Because Potiphar was an unbeliever. He can say, "Well, if you want my wife, go ahead, I don't care." No, he said, "But you can have all the money, even if you spend more money than what I told you, it's all right, don't worry about that. But don't touch my wife." Now, the man is a believer. He put it in his head. And look at them, verse 39, he said, because he said, "The reason why I cannot touch you, because you are his wife." Now, an unbeliever is saying this. Surprise me. When I read to unbelievers Genesis 2:20, they said, that the man should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife and be one. Only one wife and so on. But this unbeliever, this man, who was a very high officer in the empire, he knew a lot, don't we? He said, verse 39 clearly said, he said, "No, has he kept back anything from me by you, because you are his wife." Now, listen carefully now why he will not do it. Men of God and women of God, listen carefully. Look at what they said. "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin?" I thought that he will say against Potiphar. What the Bible said? Against God. Joseph was a believer, don't we? I think I want to bring that series in the morning service. It thrills me when I see a man like that really fears God in this way. "How can I do this great evil against God?" Wait a minute. God was not involved. It was the women. But if you touch somebody else and disobedience to God, we are sinning against God. And I know with all my heart, I know that no one of you want to sin against God. But Satan is so smart and so smooth that can get your temper of your desires out of control. Unless really God is in your mind day and night, we are in danger of all of this. So, adultery is a sin against God. God, however, has considered it and has made several statements concerning adultery. I like it. I went to the book, the dictionary, and I look in adultery, and you go through different languages, so do you think how people think in different languages, even in the Arabic language, and you know what people think about it, but it's better to know what God said, all right? So let's go to Genesis chapter 20. Adultery was considered a great sin. Genesis chapter 20. Now, you don't know what the people of God do sometimes. I can't believe what Abraham did. Now, I'm going to read it for fun, all right? Because it's amazing. Genesis chapter 20, verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from there to the south and dwelt in Kadesh and Shur and stayed in Gerar. Now, Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, "She is my sister." Now, as you know, the Bible describes Sarah as a beautiful woman. And he was afraid. Now, he knew the unbelievers will kill him to take his wife. So he is not trusting God. He's just human speaking, like sometimes we have human moments. And here it is. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent to took her. That's very custom. I like that women bring in. David did that as a believer. Remember, a woman was taking a shower and a bath and a river. Say, "I like that woman. I like that body. Bring her in." People were doing that. He said, "Bring that woman in." Now look at what happened, verse 3. But God came to Abimelech. Unbelievable how God speaks to an unbeliever. So don't be afraid to pray for our president's candidate. God speaks to unbelievers, all right? But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Indeed, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife." Now he didn't know. Verse 4. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, "Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Did he not say she is my sister? And she herself said he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hand, I have done this." In other words, I'm not guilty, God. Wait a minute. I want that woman, and according to the law, I want that woman, kill the man, get the woman. I do the practice, but I have not touched her. All right? I do not destroy your husband. All right? And verse 5. Did he not say she's my... Verse 6. And God said to him in a dream, "Yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart. For I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her." You got the word? I don't let you, unbeliever, sinning against me. In other words, God, any sin is against God. All right, that's very deep, don't it? All right, verse 8. So Abimelech rose early in the morning and called his servant and told all these things in their hearing, and the men were very much afraid. I can't believe it, a heathen nation afraid of God. I can't believe it. So there is cure for America. We are not out of the bound. When the believers shape up, there is cure for America. And now verse 9, the verse I want you to know. And Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, "What have you done to us? Will we not ashamed for here is an unbeliever telling a believer what you have done. You have done deeds to me that ought not to be done." Then Abimelech said to Abraham, "What did you have in view that you have done these things?" See, look at clear verse 9. And Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, "What have you done to us? How have I offended you that you have brought of me and of my kingdom?" What a great sin. So adultery is called in the Bible a great sin. Some people say all sin are the same. Yeah, but some are great sin. And adultery is called a great sin. Now, I don't know if you know that, but adultery, according to the Hebrew law, was punished by death. If you turn your Bible to the third book, the book of Leviticus, chapter 20 and verse 10, Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 10, adultery was punished by death. The Bible said in Leviticus 20 and in verse 10, a very strong word about this. The man who commits adultery with another man's wife, he who commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely, what? Be put to death. So if you think the Arabs are doing wrong, well, that was the law in Israel too. That there was not a break on it. Adultery destroyed the visible picture of Christ and the church. There is a picture in matrimony. When I marry people, I always said at the end, this is a picture of Christ and the church. And if you look in Ephesians 5 and in verse 31 and 32, the Bible tells you that the matrimony, the union, the sexual union of a man and a woman in matrimony is a picture of Christ and the church. And in Ephesians 5 and in verse 31, the Bible said, for this reason, a man shall leave his mother and father and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Paul makes a quotation of Genesis 2:20. And then in verse 32, clarify. He said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And so the union of Christ and the church is really presented, visible, seen in a matrimony. That's how Christ joins the church. So I thought to myself after this sermon, I said, well, what is my conclusion? I sweat a lot to preparing this sermon. And I said, what I want me. So my question is, how can we avoid the trap of adultery? That's what came into my mind. How can we do that? Well, there is a verse that I have it in a 3x5 card in my pocket, because before I speak, I had to look into that. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 is a verse that concerns me as a person, as an individual. And sometimes I violate that and I'm mad about it. Proverbs 23, verse 7 said this, for as he thinks, as a man think in his heart, so is he. Adultery is not that I saw a girl with nice figures and I was tempted, or she saw a man very attractive and was attracted. No, adultery had nothing to do with that. It had to do with our thoughts. Okay? As we think, so we are. All right? Where can I find help? Can I go to the library and get books and so on? No. Philippians 4, 8. You all know that by memory. Philippians 4 and verse 8. He said, finally, said Paul, you guys in Philippi, let me give you a counsel. Philippians 4 and verse 8. He's so good to present to them a real counsel that will help me and have helped me. Finally, brethren, whosoever things are true, said the Apostle Paul, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, what did he say? Think on those things. We live in a very fast society. We get the papers, and the first page, the newspaper knows how fast we are. I got a Wall Street Journal, and you know what? They don't even want you to go page by page. There is a summary of what's happening right in the front. They know people are fast. They got the paper, look at it. And so they want you to know the money, this and the other. And so you read the summary, you know what's going on. And if you want details, you go inside. Society has changed us to have a very light thinking about things that happen. But the Bible does not. You saw the picture here. You saw what it said. Clearly, see, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure, now put time and thinking on that. That will control you. In other words, your self-control comes from the head. Some people take drugs to control themselves because they have come to the extreme and they need it. And so the doctor carefully administers some drugs so that you can start thinking back. I remember in the hospital many times, a psychiatrist will say, "What do you think, Dr. Otero? This person can think?" "No." "Okay." Then they give you some drugs because you have violated your own rules and you're out of control and you need some drugs chemically to bring you back. Now you can think. Thinking is very important. And so the Bible tells us where to look on it in Philippians 4:8. Yes. Adultery is a horrible sin. Does adultery have cure? Yes. Our head needs to be cured. Our head. We need to start thinking with God and ask God for his strength. Thank you, Father. This was a very difficult command, but a very real. A very natural command because it's a temptation to all of us. Lord, we pray. We pray, Lord, that you give us a strength to overcome this, and that we will turn what the Bible said, as a man thinketh, so is he. So help us to think with you day and night to avoid this terrible sin. And when all is done, we're going to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.